Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Ethan Lane as we talk about policy priorities at this year's 2020 Cattle Industry Convention in just a moment. Joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, let's talk about a program that really shows cattle producers care about their animals and they do the right thing. Beef Quality Assurance. Heather, give us an update on BQA.
Yes, the Beef Quality Assurance Program continues to grow significantly with more than 100,000 cattle producers now certified through its online learning system at BQA.org. It's estimated 85% of the U.S. fed beef supply are now touched by BQA certified organizations. But I think it's important to remind producers that the Beef Checkoff BQA program is a nationally coordinated, state implemented program that provides systematic information to U.S. beef producers and beef consumers of how common sense husbandry practices can be coupled with science to raise cattle under optimum management and environmental conditions. The bottom line, it's about taking pride in the beef we produce and helping beef consumers feel more confident and trust the beef that they are buying.
To learn more about BQA, go to oklabeef.org. Click on Cattleman's Corner. Our coverage from the 2020 Cattle Industry Convention being powered by DuraCor Herbicide from Corteva AgriScience. Once again with us today, Ethan Lane from the NCBA's Washington, D.C. office, talking about some of the issues they're dealing with at this year's convention, especially the labeling of U.S. beef domestically at the retail level.
When mandatory cool was vacated by Congress, it seems that there's a little bit of an issue in the vacuum that followed it regarding what's being labeled within the U.S. beef.
Well, you know, it's a complicated issue, and obviously when MCOOL was vacated, as you said, what was left was a marketing structure that's overseen by FSIS that really isn't food safety related. It's this product of the USA label authority. And, you know, FSIS basically says if it passes through an FSIS inspected facility, it qualifies as a product of the United States. Voluntary labels can be applied that say product of the United States, produced in the United States, processed in the United States. There's a variety that falls under that scope. We had some of our affiliates from around the country bring this to our attention in the summer as an issue they're concerned with. Obviously, we've seen some other groups take a different approach. They want to see that product of the USA label be a mandatory born, raised, and harvested. Our problem with that is that would be a backdoor to MCOOL. That would create the segregation that our trading partners in Mexico and Canada were successful in the WTO. In suing us on. Four times we lost on that issue. So we're trying to thread that needle and find some common ground there. What we found in our working group is we agree we're uncomfortable with the way that label's being applied. But we want to make sure that we stay in a spot that's voluntary, and we want to make sure that where there is an origin claim being made, that claim is verified. We think that authority already exists through AMS's PVP programs. You know, they're not as utilized as they should be, although there is an extensive list of folks that are already using them. It has that verification and auditability that folks are looking for. And it actually speaks to what we think consumers are responding to more, which is a more regional or local source verification, right? I mean, product of the USA doesn't mean as much to them as, you know, product of the Shenandoah Valley or product of Oklahoma or you know, California sun-fed beef. I mean, it's a marketing program, and you want to be able to target those audiences. And we know our consumers are looking for local products. They want to know that it was grown down the road. So we think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity there if we can close this back gate where these labels are being applied at the retail level that maybe aren't quite as clear as they need to be about what's in the package. So we're working on some language that would provide some clarity on that front. We're working with USDA. We're working with the rest of the value chain. And that's the directive that Executive Committee here at NCBA has given us as staff is, hey, talk to the rest of the chain. Let's figure out how to make this work, and let's make sure we protect our producer.
You feel that, you know, that you'll be able to get, you know, obviously it's the packers, processors that are putting that label on. Are they going to be willing to cooperate, you think, in this effort?
So it's what we're finding is it's not always the packer and processor. It can be happening at the retail level too. Okay. And so I think what we have found through this process, and this is something we keep coming back to, you know, nobody's doing anything wrong here, right? I mean, this is an authority that's probably a little too vague for the way we do business in this industry now. Mm-hmm. So what we're really talking about is how do we refine it in a way that, you know, if you're putting effort into that product and you're creating something, if you're making sausage and you're putting all those things in, I mean, you're creating a legitimate product of the United States, and you need to be able to take credit for that, and you need to be able to label your packages accordingly. But we also want to make sure that however you're making money in the cattle business in the U.S., that you're not going to be unfairly dinged for that or pigeonholed in a way that's going to create problems. We want to stay out of the WTO. So we're hopeful that there's a route to do that. Mm-hmm. In talking to the attorneys and folks that really know this subject well, Yeah, there's going to be some more conversation to be had here, but we're going to have to just continue to be clear that, you know, our goal here is not to send us into an area where we trigger retaliation, where we get ourselves back into an MCOOL conversation, but we do want clarity on a voluntary basis. And that's, we think that's achievable. We think there's a route and a really tailored way to do that. And we've had a positive response from the packing sector. I mean, obviously they want to make sure that their interests are protected too. They have, mm-hmm. The North American Meat Institute is their lobbying organization, and we're engaging with them as well. And we'll get it figured out, and we'll find a path here that makes sense. But that's our strength as NCBA. We're the only ones that can reach that whole value chain, right? And we can sit there and talk up and down the chain and kind of try to broker a compromise that works for everybody. And that's really playing to our strengths here. It might mean that every once in a while I'm the bad guy in the room for some folks, and that's all right. That's part of the job. I'm hopeful that if we continue to be cards up here and just call balls and strikes and say, look, we're all trying to get to a spot where this works, I think cooler heads will prevail and we'll get to a good spot.
NCBA's Ethan Lane. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Midwest Farm Shows is the longest running sponsor of our daily farm and ranch email and operates the two best farm shows in Oklahoma. This spring is the Oklahoma City Farm Show, April 23rd through the 25th at State Fair Park, and the Tulsa Farm Show returns next November. For more information on the Oklahoma City Farm Show, call a show manager at 507-437-7969. Also, check out our website at oklahomafarmreport.com for details about how you can sign up for our daily farm news email.
And that's your Beef Buzz from San Antonio. I'm Ron Hayes.